Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Melissa Melton, and let's check out what's coming up on this Wednesday, February 27, 2013 edition.
Tonight, spam bots invade Congress as Obamaites flood congressional Twitter accounts and fraudulent anti-gun messages. Then, the DHS plans to release 10,000 illegal aliens from detention centers. And Catherine Albright, in studio, exposes the RFID privacy nightmare. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I just want to start tonight's broadcast off by saying that we here at InfoWars, we take a lot of flack, and a lot of times we're called names like crazy conspiracy theorist. But even if you try to look at this from a skeptic's point of view, the things that our government is engaged in at this time is just completely insane. It makes no sense. It throws logic completely out the window. I mean, let's take a look at this first story. DHS to release 10,000 illegals while building new detention centers. Okay, so the Department of Homeland Security plans to release 10,000 illegal aliens from detention centers in response to possible sequestration budget cuts, citing the unaffordability of maintaining these jails, while simultaneously building new detention centers for illegal aliens that cost tens of millions of dollars, I guess so that they can also not be afforded to be maintained? This doesn't make any sense at all. And actually, they've already started releasing illegal immigrants ahead of the budget cuts even going into effect. And Napolitano is saying she doesn't think we can maintain, we being her and her ilk, the same level of security at all places around the country with sequester as without sequester. And I'm actually really hoping that what that means is they're not going to be able to afford to stick their hands down the pants of as many three-year-olds at the airport who just want to go to Disneyland, because we all know they're not doing anything at the border anyway. And there she is. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, that is wonderful. I love that. That's pretty accurate, actually, and it's unfortunate and sad. They're releasing people from one end of the spectrum while they're building more facilities, which they're not going to apparently be able to afford to put people in. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And for more on how Queen Napolitano is basically, ironically, using these terroristic threats, their veiled threats, against the American people in the wake of budget cuts, let's go now to Aaron Dykes.
Under sequestration, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also part of DHS, will be forced to reduce detention and removal. Perhaps most critically, it would have serious consequences to the flow of trade and travel.
So the sequestration budget cuts are here, a measly $85 billion of automatic cuts because they couldn't agree on real budget cuts that will basically do nothing to the American budget. And yet, in the news, we have Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Security, openly making threats that if they dare touch her precious Homeland Security budget, there might be new terror attacks or there might be a new wave of immigrants illegally flooding across the border. Let's play a short clip of that right now.
Look, I don't think we can maintain the same level of security at all places around the country with sequester as without sequester. Threats from terrorism and the need to respond and recover from natural disasters do not diminish because of budget cuts.
Let's just call it for what it is. It's a veiled threat. It is terrorism, and we know who the real terrorists are. We've seen countless false flag events from 9/11 on down, from the phony underwear bomber scenario used to sell body scanners to the public, and of course, the setting up of Homeland Security itself to terrorize the people. We know what it is. The dictionary definition of terrorism is the systematic use of fear or terror as a means of coercion, and that's just what they're doing. And of course, Janet Napolitano says she's not trying to scare anyone. She just wants them to plan for what if there's not enough money for TSA to grope passengers, and what to do if there's longer lines and you have to wait to get on a plane, or if you're not able to make your flight.
Average wait times to clear customs will increase by as much as 50%, and at our busiest airports like Newark and JFK, LAX and O'Hare, peak wait times, which can reach over 2 hours, could easily grow to 4 hours.
Homeland Security and other national security figures, Napolitano on down, don't want the public to even think that these national security apparatuses can be targeted by budget cuts. So that's why they want to reiterate the fear. They admittedly did it during the Bush administration using their color-coded fear chart. Every time Bush was down in the polls, or that he faced re-election, or that the public was beginning to doubt that the war on terror was real. Now we see it again, as we already have in the Obama administration, the fear-mongering hearing over checks won't go out, people are going to starve, people are going to go hungry. And then here's Napolitano adding on to that, that the country will break down and passengers will have to wait in lines and the TSA won't be able to do its job. And it's not our fault if there's more terror attacks. Well, we know who's clearly behind the staged phony terror in this country. We also know that Homeland Security and TSA have never caught a real terrorist, especially at airports, and that the only terrorists they have set up and charged are those led by admitted FBI sting operations. But Napolitano wants you to think that her precious Homeland Security budget is untouchable and that they have a right to occupy and control the direction of this country. Of course, Homeland Security's real money comes through black budgets and is used for continuity of government operations, setting up of FEMA camps and a lot more. No one's even pretending to touch that money.
Under sequestration, Immigration and Customs Enforcement would not be able to maintain the 34,000 detention beds as required by Congress. It would also reduce our investigative activities in areas like human smuggling.
They want you to be afraid of a wave of illegal immigration, even though they're admittedly planning to give amnesty to more than 11 million immigrants and pretty much openly don't do anything to restrict the border. In fact, Department of Justice and others give weapons to the drug cartels, allow them to ship in their drugs and then launder the money on Wall Street. They just want to, again, control and instill fear in the American public. They're not going to do anything to stop illegal immigration one way or another, and they're certainly not going to stop terrorism, which they could just use to further their own agenda. We see through you, Janet Napolitano. We know that your odor comes from a defensive mechanism like a skunk or like a stink beetle to keep people away from your little precious jewel agency of Homeland Security. So they'll think they can't cut your budget, and you'll just excrete this defensive odor upon the people. Well, stop it. You're repugnant. You're repugnant to the Constitution. Get away from our Bill of Rights. Stop using it as your toilet paper. Signing off for InfoWars.com, I'm Aaron Dykes.
Hi, I'm Janet Napolitano, Secretary of Homeland Security. If you try to take our money that is rightfully ours, we will unleash a legion of terrorists on you, because we need our money to put our hands down your pants and create terror alerts and do all kinds of things to take away your freedoms and to pay for targets that look like pregnant women and old men defending their homes. Those are the real terrorists.
Napolitano, just take my money, please. Please, I'm so scared. Please, take my money. Come on, seriously, this is ridiculous. Anyway, moving on. Texas public school students are donning burqas and learning that Muslim terrorists are freedom fighters now. So that's a new wonderful thing that's happening here in the Texas public schools. A teacher has allegedly encouraged the schoolgirls to dress in full-length Islamic burqas and then instruct the entire class that Muslim terrorists are actually freedom fighters. And the teacher even allegedly said she doesn't agree with it, but she's supposed to teach people that they're not supposed to call them terrorists, they're freedom fighters. And at the end of the class, a teacher assigned a paper about Egypt, and a student explained to reporters the topic of the paper was how Egypt was a good country until democracy took over, and that things were finally corrected when the Muslim Brotherhood came into power. So is this teacher teaching students to think critically, or is this more PC brainwashing? I mean, we're the ones that put the Muslim Brotherhood into power, and now we have this brainwashing arm for our children that's telling them to think that that's good? This makes, again, no sense. And moving on to things that make absolutely no sense, let's take a look at this. Eyewitness, yes, the Nazis did confiscate our guns. So this is an eyewitness, an Austrian citizen, Kitty Werthmann, who was actually there when Hitler was the annexation of Austria. And she says she actually saw them taking away citizens' guns. And yet all these gun control advocates and all these mainstream media people are trying to rewrite history and say that never happened.
Oh, the Austrian people had guns. But the government said the guns are very dangerous. Children are playing with guns, hunting accidents happen, and we really have to have total control, safety. So we dutifully went to the police station and we registered our guns. Not long after, they said, no, it didn't help. The only way that we don't have accidents and crimes You bring the guns to the police station, and then we don't have any crimes anymore and any accidents. And if you don't do that, capital punishment.
So there you have it. Stalin and Hitler disarmed their political adversaries before engaging in mass genocide.
See, and that woman wasn't Jewish, she was Austrian, and they took her guns. She was actually there, she witnessed it. And now we have all these mainstream media outlets coming out, like Salon.com, publishing stuff like this. The Hitler gun control lie. And these stories are ridiculous. It's amazing. Actually, it says the notion that Hitler confiscated everyone's guns is mostly bogus. Well, mostly bogus means partly true. Then they go on to say the law did prohibit Jews and other persecuted classes from owning guns, but this should not be an indictment of gun control in general. I'm pretty sure it should, because if you're Jewish and you get your guns taken away and then millions of you are slaughtered in mass, that's a pretty good argument against gun control. But my favorite line, I think, is if guns don't kill people because of the argument guns don't kill people, people kill people, then neither does gun control cause genocide. Genocidal regimes cause genocide. Well, I would argue that we're living under a genocidal regime because we're killing thousands every day through Planned Parenthood, which our government gives millions to every day. And that was started by a known eugenicist who on record wanted to do away with minorities, with the low income, impoverished, with feeble-minded people. She said on record she wanted people to have to apply to the government to become parents anyways. And we even see that today. Planned Parenthoods are mostly located in low-income, high-minority neighborhoods. And when we're not killing people here, we're actually doing it in other countries in these unconstitutional wars, or we'll just send a drone over and, like, bomb a whole wedding, or, you know, bomb an apartment building and kill a bunch of people. And I just think it's amazing that we live in a time where we're surrounded by such evil that we have these media outlets openly standing up for Adolf Hitler. It's amazing to me. And I think the point of stories like this is so that people won't make that connection between Adolf Hitler, who was a cult of personality back in his day. After the false flag Reichstag event, he passed an enabling act and became a dictator. And he was a horrible, authoritative dictator that killed millions of people. And now today we have cult of personality Obama passing all of his unconstitutional executive orders and the NDAA, where he can indefinitely detain U.S. citizens without even a charge or a trial. I think that the mainstream media just doesn't want you to know that history repeats itself. Well, it's going to continue to repeat itself, whether or not Salon likes it or not. And actually, I think that people like Alex Seitzwald and Salon need to stop misdirecting people with partial bits of truth. Because were you there? No, you weren't. But Kitty Werthmann was, and she said it happened. Okay? Moving on to more people who don't know what they're talking about, ABC is now defending their editing of Michelle Obama's automatic weapon claim. Apparently, Michelle Obama went on to Good Morning America, and she claimed that 15-year-old Hadiyah Pendleton, who was killed in Chicago shortly after performing at the president's inauguration, was shot because some kids had some automatic weapons they didn't need. That's what she said. But actually, the Chicago police report says that Pendleton was shot by a man who opened fire with a handgun. So it was a grown man using a handgun, but they actually edited that out. And Michelle Obama will obviously use any means she can to get this anti-Second Amendment propaganda out there, and then the mainstream media will go around behind her and try to pick up the pieces of her lies. And for more mental trinkets from our White House, here's even more ridiculous advice from Joe Biden on guns and women's self-defense.
Joe Biden on self-defense for women.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. As I told my wife, I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
Great advice, Joe. Not only would that be illegal, but a woman would then face an attacker with an empty shotgun.
In California, everyone talks about the big earthquake or some terrible natural disaster as a last line of defense. What would you say to those people?
Well, I would say there's an awful, guess what? A shotgun will keep you a lot safer. A double barrel shotgun than the assault weapons in somebody's hands who doesn't know how to use it, even one who does know how to use it. You know, it's harder to use an assault weapon than hit something that is a shotgun, okay? So you want to keep people away in an earthquake, buy some shotgun shells.
So Biden's telling his wife that she needs to take a double-barrel shotgun, aim it out the window, fire two blasts, and then stand there with an empty gun while a would-be attacker continues to make her way there. Jill, I think what you need to do is call Secret Service and not take advice from your husband, or else you're going to end up dead. Okay. And speaking of the White House, Republican rep demands White House records after fraudulent gun control tweets. We're talking about spam bots invading Congress. Apparently, Representative Steve Stockman on Tuesday pressed President Obama and his de facto campaign arm Organizing for Action for more info on White House gun control efforts amid new allegations that Obama supporters are flooding congressional Twitter accounts with phony and fraudulent anti-gun messages. And apparently he was deeply troubled by the fact that Obama supporters were in their anti-gun campaign were using spam bots to send fake Twitter messages to members of Congress intending to create a false appearance of a grassroots support. And I think it's pretty sad. I guess we're going back to the days of grade school now, and Obama's going to have to pay for friends like he's going to have to pay for support. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And actually, what I'm about to tell you probably won't even surprise you, but it actually did surprise me. Apparently, the DHS has also been working on a Cyber Warriors for Obama project where they've hired about 3,600 people to divert, disrupt, and destroy. They were hired for their hacking abilities. They're supposed to go into anti-Obama websites and put up fake postings through proxy servers, alternate identities, and multiple email addresses. And apparently, according to this, they also referred to Obama as the Pharaoh of the Internet. So next time you see spam on the InfoWars website, you see a troll, it's saying the same thing over and over in story after story, it could be a cyber warrior working for the Pharaoh of the Internet, Mr. Obama there. And it's a good thing he can pay for those people to call him that. That's wonderful. But they can't afford to protect us from illegal aliens, but they can afford to build a jail. See, it all makes lots and lots of sense. Just like John Kerry is now telling people this week that the Syrian rebels who we're funding that are also the Al-Qaeda that supposedly committed the 9/11 attacks deserve our support. And that's all coming from our government. And finally, one last story on our government brainwashing camps. As a father wants to change the school dress code after his son is asked to remove his Marines t-shirt. Apparently, an Illinois father wants a school district to reconsider the dress code after his kid was threatened with suspension for wearing a Marines t-shirt that had two interlocking rifles on the front. The rifles were considered problematic and had to be removed from sight. So they told the kid they would suspend him unless he turned his t-shirt inside out. And he's worn the t-shirt to school many times before without any incident. But now that they're changing their tune after Sandy Hook, now all guns in schools are bad. And schools are just going to brainwash on whatever the establishment's new agenda is this week. And actually, for more on that after this break, I'll be talking with Dr. Catherine Albrecht about the RFID programs in schools. But first, let's look at the quote of the day. By the 2030s, the non-biological portion of our intelligence will predominate. Geez, well, I think by 2030, there'll just be a giant floating Zardoz head spitting guns out everywhere. How about it's 2013 and we revel in our humanity and basically keep fighting against these crazy globalist technocrats and their sad disdain for humanity, which just pretty much makes me sick. And that's it for tonight's portion of the main news. Stick around after the break for the interview.
ProPure is introducing Pro-1. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. This is the Pro-1 by ProPure. You wanted it, you got it. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It cuts out the acid derivative of fluoride. It is the only one that does it. And out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. This is a revolution against the tyrants. They love putting the toxic acid base of fluoride into your water. They love the fact that it's an adjuvant supercharging the trace Prozac in the water and the hormones and the other chemicals. By cutting out fluoride, you cut out the turbocharger in all the poison being artificially introduced into your body. This is what I use. It's a win-win. You get a high-quality product at the lowest price. You support the InfoWar. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
InfoWars.com is proud to introduce the new InfoWars skateboards by Alien Workshop. Skaters have always been against the grain socially. Now wake up your friends politically. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. We have Divide and Conquer, our brainwashing. Then take your deck to your local skate shop, pick out your own trucks, your own wheels, and then hit the streets and wake some people up. Here is legendary skateboarder Jake Nunn.
This one has a lot more concave than I have on my board, and I like concave. It makes it easier to turn and feel the board. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's almost the same shape as mine. It's not really a sport, and it's not really art. It's just kind of freedom, you know? I've listened to Alex Jones for a long time, and I love what InfoWars does. I've always loved Alien Workshop, too. Like, I think it's kind of cool you guys got together. This one's pretty nice. Definitely one for the wall, one for the collection. Also good to skate.
Get these limited edition decks at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is Jake Nunn. Get these beautiful new skateboards at InfoWars.com. Alien Workshop collaboration. Good stuff.
We are back, and I'm here with Dr. Catherine Albrecht of the Dr. and Catherine Albrecht Show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the Genesis Communications Network. She's a dynamic radio personality, and she's written 6 books and videos, including the bestseller Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID, and The Spy Chips Threat, Why Christians Should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance. So thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Liz. I'm really happy to be here in Austin. It's a lot of fun to be in Texas right now. A lot of things going on in this state.
A lot of things are going on in this state. And it looks like on Monday you went to a public forum about the RFID.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as much as I love Texas, you guys are the epicenter of a pretty nasty attack that's going on right now. And that is the tagging of school kids with remotely readable radio tracking beacons, literally on tags around their necks. So we've got 4,200 children in the Northside Independent School District, which is one of the poorest, least performing school districts in the state of Texas, down in San Antonio, where essentially the administration has said, we will track you every 25 seconds using reader devices buried in the hidden in the ceiling, and we will make a record all day long of every place that you go. And yesterday, some colleagues, Heather Fazio from Texans for Accountable Government, and I headed over to the vendor, a company called Wade Garcia that manufactures these devices. And we were given a 3-hour interview and tour of their facilities. Very small facilities. It sounds like it's a big manufacturing plant. It actually wasn't. During that, we actually got to see, he pulled up, Mike Wade, the creator of this product, pulled up a screen. And I have to tell you, Melissa, it was one of the most frightening things I think I've ever seen in terms of what the future is going to look like. So let me tell you what the future looks like. So each of these children is wearing a battery containing RFID transmitting beacon. It's active RFID. So unlike the other RFID that I've been fighting all these years that doesn't have a battery in it and you have to have a reader to pick it up, this actually transmits a signal. So every 25
seconds. So it's transmitting a signal all the time.
Yes. So every 25 seconds it sends out a little burst of electromagnetic energy that contains a unique ID signal in it. So it's a unique ID number. This pulse that goes out from these children has anywhere from a 75-foot to a 300-foot read range. So
wow.
Each child is sitting in the center of their own sort of electromagnetic cloud
beacon,
of data.
But they're also getting rained on by the other children they're sitting next to.
Exactly. So the entire school has now become this sort of emitting,
you're just
from
being bathed in energy all the time.
It certainly raises real issues from a health perspective. And actually, let me address this really quickly while we're talking about it. As your viewers may be aware, I am a breast cancer survivor. I went through a very difficult 2-year journey battling breast cancer. And as a result, I am very sensitive just consciously of the sorts of things that affect our bodies and could trigger a cancer to come back or a cancer to start. And so now you've got these girls, and they're between the ages of 12 and 17, who are wearing an electromagnetic beacon literally between their developing breasts that is sending out this pulse every 25 seconds throughout the day. We calculated, I'm trying to remember how many hundreds of thousands of exposures this wound up to be, but it was an immense number. And I have to say that if I had a daughter that was attending that school, that I would be the very first person to say there's no possible way. Even if we don't have absolute definitive evidence that this technology causes cancer, we do have some evidence that seems to indicate that. We also have, you know, other studies say it has no health effects. So the reality, we don't know. And the idea of using young girls as guinea pigs and to find out 10, 20, 30 years down the road that an entire school or an entire district developed breast cancer because of this exposure would be a horrifying outcome. So it's not just the microchips sending out these beacons, but when I talk about this horrifying vision of the future, what we were able to see on the screen was a blueprint, a map, if you would, of the school. And there were so many schools doing this. This is schools in the Spring Independent School District down in Houston that I was not even aware were rigged with this technology.
I wasn't aware of that
either. He pulled down a menu, and there were school after school, alphabetically. Like, when he pulled down the menu, you could only see the A's and B's.
Wow.
That's how many schools are doing this. So he pulls this down, and he clicks on just a random school, and then the blueprint of the school comes up on the screen. And in this blueprint, what you see is the picture of the school, and then circles. And each of the circles inside of it contains two boxes, which is a number of students in that circle and a number of staff in that circle. So there might be like an 8 and a 15, or a 2 and a 1. When you click that, it gives you the names of the people that are physically located in that within that circle. Now, he's doing this from Texas, from San Antonio, looking at schools that are hundreds of miles away from this kind of command center.
And we should all trust him to be okay with that information.
He developed a program, so
creepy.
I'm not sure how trustworthy that is. But as he pulls it down, you could then pick any one of the names and click it, and then bring up that person's picture and their name and all of their personal information and their student ID number, and you now know exactly who's in that circle.
So you're turning a school into an electronic concentration camp,
it
basically.
It is, and what's fascinating about it is I've never actually seen a system for tracking and tagging people that worked that seamlessly. I've seen a lot of systems that make efforts to try to tie in video cameras and do various things, but I've never actually seen in real life a system that does track people in that way. So as we were leaving, just driving through the streets of San Antonio, we stopped at a traffic light. You know, they have the cameras now at the traffic lights, which 10 years ago was horrifying in and of itself. And I thought to myself, all they're going to need to do is get each of us to agree to carry or wear something like that. And then they're going to be able to do that. The police or the FBI, the federal government, would be able to log into a control center, just like he did, and pull down from the menu Austin, Texas, and then pull down from the menu your street, and then pull down from the menu your home, and actually determine who is in your home or who is at the traffic light or who is fill in the blank. So it's the ability to do that is here. And the only thing standing between us, and this is why I'm such a big fan of InfoWars, the work that you do, Melissa, the work that Alex does, because the only thing standing between us in that future is the fact that people will say no. So right now in San Antonio, I flew out to attend a community forum put together by Heather Fazio from Texans for Accountable Government, and we had probably 70 members of the community come out and say, we don't like this. We don't want to be part of it. I then went in the evening over to the school board meeting to actually talk to the school board.
Did the school go to the forum?
Well, they did not. I had called them. I invited their superintendent to attend. I invited members of the board to attend. Heather invited everyone to attend. They said, no, as far as we're concerned, it's done.
Oh, good.
So they don't want input any longer. So as far as they're concerned, it's done. That was the one piece of feedback. And even the vendor, you know, said he got sick at the last minute, couldn't come. So it was really just people on the opposition side when we made every effort to try to
get them
an opportunity and a forum to give their side.
His product is so wonderful. Why wouldn't he want to come and talk about its merits?
Yeah, you kind of wonder. Well, he did invite us in to tell us all about its merits, and we captured all that on video. So that should be interesting. But when the city council meeting took place, and it came time for the public comments, the community comments, and my name was on the list. I had gotten in early enough to have my name on the list to speak. And the president of the school board said, is Ms. Albrecht, Mrs. Albrecht, Miss Albrecht, are you around? And kind of went, here I am, and I smiled. And she stuttered and stammered. We have this on video. And she said, you're not going to be allowed to speak today.
Really? Yeah. See, that's interesting, because I was there for a protest as well earlier on in this fight. And it was probably 20 community members who showed up specifically to talk about this issue. And the school board did all this other stuff. They played videos how great they are. They were giving awards to the police. It was like this pageantry about how wonderful the school district is. And then it came to the actual issues. And they're like, well, we've decided, as per the rules we just pulled out of this book over here in the corner, that we're only going to let 3 people talk for 5 minutes. And then they started curbing people's 5 minutes. And it was amazing. I've never seen
what I thought was really, it was really a show of weakness, I think, on their part, and of them feeling intimidated, because I had come in on Friday. I flew to D.C. and I met with the folks from EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and from EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, all the privacy groups, the ACLU. We all got together on Friday, and we have a coalition paper against it. We formed a coalition. We've got a position paper against this. And they said, we've got to get these answers about the program. Are they using fair information practices? What kind of security is being used on the data? Is it opt-in or opt-out? Can parents say no to this? So they had a series of questions. And the reason I had gone to the board meeting to speak my little 3 minutes, they didn't even give me my 3 minutes, was simply to say, I'm here representing this broad coalition of well-respected international authorities on issues of privacy and civil liberties. And I myself have a doctorate in education from Harvard University. I didn't say this to them, but my educational attainments trump those of every person in that room. And that's
sure
interesting, because that is a school board.
Exactly.
And, having a doctorate in education is useless when you're fighting Walmart, but it's actually kind of helpful when you're fighting a school board.
An actual school.
So all I wanted to do was say, I'm here, I'm available. If you have any questions about why there's concerns about this program, I want to make myself available to answer them. And they wouldn't even let me get up and do
that. They wouldn't even let you talk.
Yeah,
it's rights end when you enter the school property there. That's pretty much what I've gotten from it any time that I've been there.
They've said that. They've come out and said that you have no privacy. You give up your privacy on campus. You give up your freedoms. That you, as a student in a government school, do not have any rights.
And I actually went to the Northside ISD's Smart Student ID Card website, which doesn't actually say anything at all on there anywhere about ill health effects. But I know in the past you've actually been interviewed for different articles about how pets that were microchipped were getting huge tumors.
Yeah, that's an interesting issue. And to be honest, I am not really sure whether these things are dangerous for health or not. I know that as a breast cancer survivor, I would never put one around my neck in the same way that I wouldn't hold my cell phone up to my chest. I mean, there are certain things that just
are common sense. Well, in the absence of knowledge.
Absolutely. But it really was the health issues that put an end to human chipping in the U.S. Because back in 2006, it came to our notice, a woman named Jeannie, whose bulldog Leon had developed a fast-growing tumor around his microchip, did a whole bunch of research and discovered that there was a whole cache of articles that had been published in toxicology journals and like obscure chemistry journals and obscure biology journals, that the animals that they were microchipping for laboratory studies were developing cancer around the microchips. So what happens in a laboratory, you'll have 100 mice, and you'll decide that you're going to have a control group of 50 that just are normal, and then your other 50 are going to get some sort of experimental drug or intervention, and then you see what happens. What they discovered, though, was that they were microchipping all 100 mice so that they could easily scan them and identify which mouse was in which group, but the ones that received the chemicals were getting cancer around the chips, and then they looked and discovered that the ones that hadn't had anything done to them but the chipping were getting cancer around the chips too. And even though it wasn't what they set out to study, the findings were so significant and were messing up their research so badly that they began publishing these articles. So there was a whole series of them, half a dozen or even more, and in every one of them they said that the microchip was the cause of the cancer that they were seeing.
Wow.
And, these are cancer researchers. That's what they do.
They get down
into the microscopic level and take a look at what cellular change occurred around the microchip that was causing the cancer. So when we revealed that information in 2006, 2007, we actually were able to put an end to the microchipping of humans. And it was really around that health issue. At that time, Blue Cross Blue Shield was implanting patients. They actually had a trial with diabetic patients that were receiving microchips to manage their electronic health records in the event that they went into a coma or went unconscious. And
well, it's always how it begins. It's to help you, right? It's
absolutely.
Always, this is going to help you.
They
it's
don't
good
come
technology.
With tanks and guns. They come
right.
and say, oh, it'll be more convenient. It'll be safer. And, of course, when people are frightened,
yeah,
you know, fear
well,
is a great way to get
your...
people to give up their liberties.
Exactly.
So it was. We have on pretty good authority that the people who were in that trial actually had their chips removed.
Wow.
So now it, you know, it remains to be seen whether it's going to be a health issue that puts an end to this, a security risk that puts an end to it. The real scary part to me is not even the health issue. It's the fact that when these kids leave campus, they're beaming out that unique ID number at a huge swath of distance. So any predator that is able to pick up
the signal
once
talked about that, yeah.
is able to
you can buy those trackers, right?
Stand
you can get them like on eBay.
A child's home. Yes, stand outside a child's home and identify whether the child is home, look in the driveway and see that there's no car there, know that a child's home alone.
That's horrifying.
I mean, it's truly frightening.
Yeah, Heather was able to actually do a FOIA request and get a list of all the names of the kids from the Northside ISD in that request.
Yeah.
And so she was talking about, I had read that if you just pair that up with buying an RFID tracker, there you go. I mean, it's horrifying, the implications.
You couldn't just buy it off the Internet. I suppose that's the one silver lining. You would not be able to just buy it off the Internet.
Okay.
You would have to engineer it. But the parts used, they operate at 433 megahertz, which is a hobbyist frequency. It's not licensed by the FCC. It's not a special frequency that only certain people can use. It's broadly available. The parts to put it together are widely available on the Internet. So it would be a little bit of work, but not more work than a truly determined stalker
person would do. That's
yeah.
horrifying. And I think, like you spoke about, you were a cancer survivor. My mother, 5 years ago, she was diagnosed also with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the sad state of affairs in our world today is that the first thing that happened when they told her you have stage 4 cancer, we had to sit and go, well, what could it be? Is it the GMO that has been shown in independent tests to cause tumors in lab rats? Is it, you know, the CFL light bulb? She had filled her house with these light bulbs that are always putting out that really high, low-frequency wave, and she's closed in with that all night long. Is it that? I mean, is it, you know, all the chemicals that are being sprayed on the food? Is it this constant inundation with all the other frequency that's around us all the time, the smart meters? And she was living in a place that had that. I mean, and you just don't know anymore because we have so much stuff happening all around us all the time. And you got to just follow the money on some of these things. I mean, isn't this Northside ISD, aren't these people standing to make a substantial amount of money
they
off
are.
This as well?
This is a couple hundred. It was a $200,000 contract to put this in. And this is just the pilot. So this is 4,200 kids out of over 100,000 students in the district. So do the math. I mean, you multiply that out, and you've got literally millions coming into this small company. When we interviewed them on camera yesterday and said, you know, what would it look like if you got the contract for the whole country? You know, and their eyes just lit up. I mean, obviously, that's an immense contract.
That's the plan, I think, too. I think that's the ultimate goal.
Once you've got the kids tagged, and once you've got them accustomed to this idea that authority figures, government authority figures, which is what school officials are, that government authorities can have the moral, legal, ethical right to track them, they're going to grow up into adults who aren't going to think twice when the next move is to put them on the street corners and at the entrance to the grocery store and every other place in the public arena. And then you're going to wind up with exactly what I was describing, where we're there in our car at the corner, and somebody somewhere could zoom in on that little circle and say, oh, there's Catherine Albrecht sitting in a car with Heather Fazio, and oh, they're going northbound.
And the ultimate plan to tie that into the cashless society, where they tie your finances in with your smart grid
information. Well, and then that brings you, of course, to the mark of the beast, because
exactly.
You know, that's what was predicted 2,000 years ago. You know, the idea, Melissa, that 2,000 years ago, a scraggly guy, age 80, in exile on an island off the coast of Greece, who was the Apostle John, would have a vision and be able to predict that 2,000 years later we'd have a world in which people could buy and sell with a number? Mind-blowing. A world where there would be one government for the entire globe? A world even, for him, even the idea that you would be able to identify all people, rich and poor, free and bond, you know, great and small, was incredible. They didn't even know it was over the next ridge.
Exactly.
In many cases. And yet now we're able to pinpoint the entire globe from a satellite and find a quarter lying in somebody's backyard. So, you know, to me, when people ask me what's happening, how does it tie in with biblical prophecy, I always say, you know, if the world were going, well, first of all, the world's going to hell. I think everybody agrees it's going to hell.
I think so, in a handbasket.
And you don't have to be a Christian to say that.
No.
If it were going to hell randomly, I'd be scared. If it didn't look like what was in the Bible, then I would be nail-biting scared.
Exactly.
But the fact that it's going to hell in precisely
exactly
the exact
way
that
it
we
is.
Were told it was going to happen, then I have to say, okay, well, he's not going to get that part right and not get the next part right, too.
Exactly.
And that's the good news that comes in, is that in the end, the good guys win.
Exactly.
So that's what I cling to, and that's what helps me to get through these dark times. And then the other thing is, you know, I've been doing this since 1999, and I've given many interviews that depressed and discouraged people. You know, not on purpose, just telling what I knew. I at one point had a woman reach out to me via email, and she said, Catherine, you really need like a crisis hotline for people who've heard you speak who are so stressed out that we're freaking out. You need some kind of phone number people can call for counseling. And I went, I don't want to do that to people. That's terrible. So that is why I stepped back and I said, instead of just giving people bad news, you've got to give people solutions. You've got to give people the positive. So this would be a good time to thank StartPage, the world's most private search engine, for existing, first of all, to give us an alternative to Google. So we've got a way to go online and not be tracked, but also for helping to fund my trip to San Antonio and supporting the privacy work that I'm doing right now. So there is good news. There are things that we can do. We can opt out. We can homeschool our kids. We can put them in different schools. We don't have to send them to these government institutions. We don't have to use Google. We don't have to log into the global brain 10, 15, 20 times a day and mind meld with it and tell it everything we're thinking about. You know, we have alternatives. And the frustrating part for me is when I see people who know better who don't use the alternatives. You know, people with the toll transponder in their car, instead of just taking the extra 30 seconds and paying cash. You know, tracking device on your vehicle, you don't have to do it. Once it's mandatory, then we'd have a different conversation. But when these things are voluntary, people shouldn't do them. No toll transponders. Don't use a credit card. Use cash, or we're going to lose cash. You know, don't use Google. Use StartPage. There's, like, things we can do to empower ourselves. And they're not hard, and they don't cost
exactly.
money. And I ask myself, if people are too wimpy to use these now, what's going to happen when it gets hard?
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and I hope you come back soon.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks. And I'm sorry that I had to cut her off like that, but she had to go get to her own radio show, so apologize to her and to the viewers. But actually, after this end of the credits, we're going to be showing not only a special report that I did when I first started here at the RFID protest, but also an interview with the Hernandez family, Andrea Hernandez, of course, being the student that spoke out against the RFID and was then expelled from school for refusing to wear it. So that's coming up for Prison Planet subscribers after the credits here. And if you want to become a subscriber, all you got to do is go to prisonplanet.tv. It's $5.95 a month for 11 subscriptions. You get all of our news, you get the radio show, our special reports, all of our movies, and you continue to help us get the word out on this, because like she said, this is not something that most people are talking about. The mainstream media is mostly ignoring this issue, but it is a huge issue, and we're what stands between this and the future that Dr. Albrecht just described for you. It's horrifying. And so that's about it for tonight's InfoWars Nightly News. We'll see you back again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.